prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a fascinating show today. You know, the number one medication prescribed by doctors today is for high blood pressure. And it's estimated that almost half of all Americans suffer from high blood pressure. A lot of them haven't been diagnosed yet, probably more than that. It's a big problem. High blood pressure correlates with a shorter life, with kidney problems and all sorts of other issues, a higher rate of stroke, and it goes on and on and on. The question is, can you take a therapeutic step to lowering blood pressure without medication? The pharmaceutical industry doesn't want you to think so. They want you to think that the only thing you can do is take medication. I think you're going to learn something different today. And this show could change lives, really could. Because the fewer medications you take, the better off you are. Because medications lead to having to take other medications because of the side effects of the primary medication that you were given. So it's not a good thing. There's death by polypharmacy is a real thing in the United States today. Then later in the show, we're going to talk about this chair that I sit in every day. My Backstrong chair from All 33. It is the greatest chair in the world. We're going to talk about why that is. If you are like me and sit at a desk for any length of time each day, you're going to want this chair, and you'll learn why later. Before we do anything else, we have to thank our title sponsor, and that's Legendary Foods, makers of the Tasty Pastry. The Tasty Pastry was supposed to be a replacement for a Pop-Tart. It's so much more now. Amazing flavors, less than 1 gram of sugar, 20 grams of high-quality protein, helps you stay in your lane if you're a low-carb, low-sugar person. Hell, great replacement for the crap that you give your kids to shut them up. Go to shrnetwork.biz/legendary. Use the code SHR10 to save 10% off. And if you're inclined, listen during the commercial breaks for the secret word. Today it's actually a secret phrase. It's not just a word. And when you hear the secret phrase on today's show during the commercial breaks, email it to onair@superhumanradio.net. Be sure to include your mailing address, and a free box of Tasty Pastries will be sent to you, courtesy and from the generosity of Ron Penna, founder of Legendary Foods. Okay, and now without further delay, let me get my act together here. And get my guest on camera. There we go. And that is Dr. Daniel Craighead. How you doing, Daniel?
I'm doing very well. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, we're glad you're here too. This is really fascinating. People don't like taking blood pressure medicine. And usually blood pressure medication is the first medication that will be prescribed to somebody that's over 40. It's the very first one. The doctor goes, you know, your blood pressure's getting up there. We got to put you on some meds. And at that point in your life, you're in your 40s, you're not really taking anything else. You really don't want to take a med. You don't want to admit to yourself that, oh, my God, I'm taking a medication because all of a sudden my body isn't functioning the way it used to. And so I think that I would imagine the most popular malady that people try to look for an alternative to medication is blood pressure, regulating blood pressure. So talk about why this study? Why did you do this study? What work had preceded this that kind of indicated this study needed to be done?
Right. So as you said, high blood pressure is a huge health problem in the United States and around the world. So about half of adults have hypertension, and even more have blood pressure that's not considered hypertensive, but still is above a healthy level and increases their risk for heart attack, stroke, things like that. So we need ways to control blood pressure, and we have medications already. You know, their availability isn't controlling this public health problem in our country. We know there's different lifestyle strategies, such as 30 minutes of aerobic exercise per day, losing weight, restricting how much sodium you eat that can lower blood pressure. But all those are pretty hard to accomplish when we have busy lives and, you know, are trying to fit things into a hectic schedule. So we really were setting out to look for a different way we could lower blood pressure that was really accessible and people could do. So we tested an intervention called inspiratory muscle strength training, which involves breathing in against a high resistance using a handheld device. So I have just sort of an example of one here. It's a mouthpiece. You inhale through this, and there's a valve that provides resistance while you breathe in, and it exercises the breathing muscles. So how we came to this, it's, you know, not a new sort of training. Inspiratory muscle strength training has been around since the 1970s, and it was really initially established for athletic performance. So people tried to train the respiratory muscles to improve, you know, their fitness and their, you know, ability to win competitions. After that, it was quickly translated into different sort of disease populations. So people with COPD who have respiratory dysfunction and other groups such as that. The trick with all these studies is that when inspiratory muscle strength training was done in them, it required about 30 minutes a day against a relatively lower resistance. So the only people who are going to, you know, spend 30 minutes a day sitting there breathing through a device are competitive athletes who are trying to get that edge, or people who are in a hospital and, you know, have time to do that, devoted to their health, have the doctors and nurses around them trying to get them to do that. So from a, you know, actually a type of exercise that most people are going to do, the early forms of inspiratory muscle training weren't too promising. Slowly, the research has started to develop to look at more time-efficient forms. And I think the big breakthrough came from doctors Fiona Bailey and Jennifer Vranish at the University of Arizona. So they used a form of inspiratory muscle strength training that required only 30 breaths a day, took about 5 minutes per day, in a group of patients with obstructive sleep apnea. So sleep apnea, you stop breathing for periods at night, it wakes you up, you have poor sleep quality, high blood pressure, high risk of cardiovascular disease. So what they saw in these patients is that blood pressure was reduced by about 10 millimeters mercury doing 6 weeks of this breathing exercise, 30 breaths a day, which is pretty remarkable. So we here at the University of Colorado Boulder saw that and were pretty excited. However, you don't know, will this translate from a group who has apnea at night and you think a breathing exercise might improve that, to just generally healthy adults in America who have high blood pressure, but not some sort of other underlying condition. And we thought if we could show that it would work in a more general population, that would have a really kind of good impact on controlling blood pressure. So what we did was recruited people who had blood pressure that was above normal and did 6 weeks of this this breathing intervention where people breathed 30 breaths a day, basically as hard as they could to complete 30 breaths, and we measured blood pressure before and after.
I had my mic closed. So a couple questions I want to go back to. In the people that were part of the study that looked at obstructive sleep apnea and blood pressure, did their OSA improve as a result of doing this respiratory exercise?
I believe slightly. So it was not like a magic bullet that cured OSA. They may have had slightly improved sleep quality, but the improvement in blood pressure was the real marker of clinical significance in that study.
Okay, very good. In the patients with COPD, I know people have COPD. Is there a benefit most of them are sitting in a chair watching TV all day? Anyway, could 30 minutes a day of this kind of respiratory inhalation exercise improve any outcomes for people with COPD?
It probably could, and it's been fairly widely studied in patient groups like that. Because there is a little more risk for people like them, it's generally supervised or at least prescribed by a doctor and not something we would generally want them to start on their own.
Okay. That's good to know. Talk about performance, too, because that's an interesting aspect of this audience. What did it do for performance athletes? I mean, a lot of us think of ourselves as athletes. We train like athletes. We eat like athletes. We sleep like athletes. because athletic performance in the gym is important to us, not because we're part of an Olympic team, but just for ourselves. Is there any benefit to performance? What could it avail us?
Yeah, so it's mainly been studied in endurance athletes who have to have high periods of elevated breathing. And in general, it seems to improve endurance exercise performance. So as you're running or cycling or anything like that at a high intensity for a long time, your lung muscles start to get fatigued. And because your body values breathing over walking or running, you start stealing blood from your legs towards your lungs to keep your lungs going. But obviously, that's going to slow you down. So if you train your respiratory muscles and they become more efficient and less fatigable, then you won't have that blood flow steal, and you'll be able to continue performing longer.
Fascinating. That's fascinating. Okay. All right. So let's get back to the topic at hand. So how high was the blood pressure in the group that you selected for this study? I know that 130 over 80 is supposed to be the top. I don't know where these numbers came from. It seems like epidemiology dictates different levels of things like hormones. When it comes to blood pressure, somebody just pulled this number 130 over 80 out of the air. And because I know athletes who have higher blood pressure, but that's because it is an upregulation, if you will, of the systems required to perform. And so we see blood pressure in athletes quite often slightly elevated, and they're told, oh, you need to be on a blood pressure med, when in reality, the reason theirs is elevated, not because it's pathological, but it's a physiological adaptation. So how high was the blood pressure in the group of subjects for your study?
Yeah, so to be in our study, people had to have a systolic blood pressure of 120 or greater. So 120 is what's generally considered normal. And in most people, once you get above that, that's when disease risk starts increasing. So we made sure people had at least a systolic blood pressure of 120. The average at baseline was about 135. Mm-hmm. So these are people that either had elevated blood pressure or hypertension.
Okay. And then you gave them a device. Now, the device you used, talk about the devices that are on the market for the audience, because I want people to be able to kind of have an aptitude of expectations if they look for this. The device that you guys used was very sophisticated in that it had a log file that, you know, said how long you used it, how many breaths you took, and all that, time of day, and all that sort of stuff, because you were tracking this outside of the lab. But there are dumb devices that just provide the resistance, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. So these devices are already available. Just they haven't been looked much at how they can improve blood pressure or other markers of cardiovascular health before. But you can find them on the market. So the one we used is an electronic device that, as you said, records the training history, which we needed because we had people come to our laboratory one day a week so we could, you know, see how they were training, assess their, you know, any side effects, increase the resistance they were training against as they improved. But the other 5 days a week they were training, they were on their own. So to make sure people were actually doing the intervention, we needed that electronic logging feature. So there's these sophisticated devices out there that can span from $300 to $700, which is pretty expensive. But there are analog devices that, as you say, you just set a resistance manually and then inhale. And we believe those would be just as effective at lowering blood pressure or causing performance benefits. The main thing with the devices that are on the market now is a lot of the cheapest ones don't provide a high enough resistance to get a benefit from the 30 breath a day program we did, which most people have time to do 5 minutes or 30 breaths a day. They don't want to have to do the 30 minutes or more a day to get the benefit. So when you get these devices, the resistance is generally measured as centimeters of water.
Right.
And the average training intensity in our group kind of went up to 90 centimeters of water. And that's in a group of generally healthy, middle-aged, and older adults. So if you have someone that's younger or very athletic, you're going to want a device that goes up to probably at least 150 centimeters of water to be safe, to make sure it can provide the resistance you need to train at. a lot of them out there only go to 40 or 50, and that's not high enough.
Yeah, you'd have to spend like the 30 or 40 minutes using that one. And it may not, it still may not. I mean, you can only do so much with a 100-pound weight, and then you need a 150-pound weight. You know what I mean? It's not like you get the same work and neuromuscular adaptations using the 100-pound weight a different way. 150 pounds may be what you need to achieve this goal. And so the same is probably true for resistance on these devices. So were the patients told to employ progressive resistance? In other words, they started out at, let's say, 85 centimeters of water. I want to say millimeters of mercury, centimeters of water. And they were told that each week they should try to increase it 5 centimeters. Or were they told when it becomes easy, just start, you know, click it up a little bit? How did they apply and measure progress?
Yeah, so this was a very controlled study where we really controlled the training intensity for our participants. So we measured the maximal pressure people could produce upon inhaling at the start of the study. And during week one, they trained at 55% of that. Week two, 65% of that. And then week three on, 75% of that. And every week, we reassessed their maximum pressure because they were progressing and getting stronger. So we controlled the resistance for them. We also had a low resistance sham group that was our control, and they trained at 15% throughout the entire intervention, just to control for the act of breathing without the high intensity. So we did employ a progressive resistance model, and we saw benefits with that. In the future, you know, as we're moving us towards public health, we need to look at how people can progress their own training without researchers supervising them, you know, regularly.
So did the control group see anything, ironically? You know, like, oh, yeah, look, their blood pressure got a little better.
Yeah, so there was a 3 millimeter mercury change in systolic blood pressure in the control group that was not significant. So really nothing changed in what we called the sham group. Interestingly, I was blinded throughout this entire study, so I didn't know what group people were in. But after the fact, I found out some of our participants that were claiming, you know, they felt they had so much more energy and could go upstairs better, were in the control group.
Well, and they may, it could be placebo, but it also could be the fact that even this minute amount of resistance on inhalation, maybe it did do something for them. What do you think?
It is possible, but we definitely saw much greater improvements in our treatment group. So systolic blood pressure went down by 9 millimeters mercury, which is enough to decrease someone's risk for cardiovascular disease over the long term by a significant amount. So even though there might be some benefits for the low resistance training, if you're going to do the 30 breaths a day already, you might as well bump it up to the high resistance to improve your health the most.
And so 30, okay, I just want to imagine this. I'm going to get one of these devices. I want to play with it. So I'm just trying to imagine it. Is the resistance so hard that you really can't, like, you can't even really get a full breath inhaled? Is it that that level of resistance, or is it always more passive than that, where you'll always be able to complete a rep, if you want to call it a rep?
Yeah, so the devices get set to a resistance, and there's a valve in there that won't open until you meet that resistance, and then when you stop meeting it, it closes. So the goal is to start from a full exhale and inhale as forcefully as you can, really, you know, thinking about contracting your diaphragm and getting a full inhalation. So that's the ideal, is to work through the full range of motion of your respiratory muscles. However, as people become fatigued, especially early on in this study, we would see people not be able to complete all 30 breaths with the full inhale.
Really?
You know, the valve might start to close partway through as their pressure dropped. And interestingly, it seems to be the intensity of the training and less the volume that provides the greatest benefit to blood pressure, at least. May not be that way for athletic performance. But if people start fatiguing and can't do the full breath, if they still try that kind of static contraction and keep breathing in forcefully, even while there's not air flowing, their blood pressure will still drop some.
So, my audience knows about this, and perhaps you do too, but there are some advanced training techniques for those of us who like to build muscle. and static holds or static contractions need to be used sparingly because they could actually overwork the muscle, but they produce great results in increased strength and increased hypertrophy. So it sounds to me like those people were effectively doing a static. If they were trying, the muscles were sucking, everything was working, but the air wasn't flowing. That's a static. That's resistance created against the force, but the force is not moving. You know what I mean? There's a lot of guys out there who have plates at home with chains and bars attached to them, and you stand on the plate, the bar doesn't move. But when you practice doing a deadlift with it, even though it's an immovable object, you get strong from fighting against it. So it sounds like that phenomenon may actually be taking place in the inspiratory muscles that are being stimulated, perhaps.
Yeah, it seems like it's really trying to produce that high inspiratory pressure that's the main stimulus. We think the volume helps, but might not be required.
Okay. So how did the group that was actually doing the therapy properly, they weren't the sham group, how did their blood pressure respond, and over what period of time did you see these changes?
Yeah, so after 6 weeks, their systolic blood pressure went down by 9 millimeters mercury, and their diastolic blood pressure, that bottom number in a blood pressure reading, went down by 2 millimeters mercury. But they did have normal diastolic blood pressure when they started the study. So those drops in blood pressure are clinically significant. It could take someone from having hypertension to just elevated blood pressure, or someone who has elevated blood pressure down to a normal blood pressure range. Now, we only tested 6 weeks. We don't know if you do this longer, if you'll have greater reductions in blood pressure or not. One interesting part of our study is after the 6 weeks, we took the devices back from people and we brought them back to the lab another 6 weeks later. So they'd gone 6 weeks without training. And we tested their blood pressure again, and it was still 75% as low as it had been directly after the training. So some of these effects are long-lasting, and that's something you don't normally see with blood pressure medications either. You withdraw someone from a medication, their blood pressure shoots right back up. So potentially this is something you could do intermittently and still achieve lower blood pressure.
What do you think the mechanism of action is, or were there several? Did you do blood work on these people throughout the study?
Yeah, so we did lots of interesting tests on people's cardiovascular systems, which we were some of the first to ever test these different types of mechanisms with this inspiratory training strategy. So we did a test called flow-mediated dilation that looks at the health of someone's endothelium. And the endothelium is the innermost lining of your blood vessels. It starts to degrade with aging and is a main driving factor, that dysfunction of these cells in cardiovascular diseases. So we saw the health and function of the endothelium increased 45% after 6 weeks of this. So that increased health of the blood vessels could well be driving the reduction in blood pressure. We also looked at C-reactive protein in the blood, which is a marker of inflammation, mm-hmm. and that went down after the 6 weeks.
Really?
So people had less inflammation. Yep. And then one really interesting scientific technique we did is we took blood from these participants, and we had cells growing in a petri dish, and we treated those cells with the blood, and we saw that those cells produced less reactive oxygen species when treated with the blood taken after the 6 weeks of training versus before. So there was probably less oxidative stress as well.
So what is the mechanism of action? Did this blood work give you any kind of peek into what was taking place that was lowering blood pressure? And maybe lowering blood pressure was just a byproduct. Maybe there's some other exciting stuff this approach to breathing is doing.
Yeah, well, I think it's like other forms of exercise where it's really affecting most of the systems in your body. So we think the blood vessels are getting healthier. Others have shown with similar training interventions that sympathetic nervous system activity, that fight or flight response that as people get higher blood pressure is always active, that may go down. It might have to do with increased lung function. That's likely playing a role. So it seems like there's lots of health benefits kind of happening all over the body from this training.
My audience knows that I've struggled with caffeine on and off for at least the past decade. And I believe that caffeine is really hurting our population. And I think that, you know, in its simplest terms, it's liquid stress, right? You drink your coffee, you drink your caffeine, it raises blood sugar levels immediately. It raises epinephrine, norepinephrine levels, adrenaline levels. And these are the same, you know, if you're unfit and your doctor wants to do a stress test and you can't get on that treadmill and run, they effectively give you a catecholamine, I guess it is, similar to caffeine, that elevates blood pressure, elevates heart rate, elevates all this stuff. And then they go, oh, yeah, you know, your heart is fine or it's not fine and all that sort of. And by the way, I think these are very dangerous tests because when you walk and you run, there are other things taking place to help kind of buffer the stress. But with that being said, we're literally drinking liquid stress day in and day out. And adrenaline, I really believe, or let's say the overproduction of adrenaline in our population is leading to some really horrible things. Didn't you say that the adrenaline levels changed, the epinephrine, norepinephrine levels changed in the group that used the breathing apparatus?
Yeah, so we measured the epinephrine, norepinephrine levels in our participants. They were in a very rested state. So they'd withheld from caffeine and alcohol and exercise. Then we had them lay down for 20 minutes in a nice, quiet, dark room. And we didn't see a change in this kind of as relaxed state as we could get people. However, Dr. Bailey's research in those sleep apnea patients, they saw a reduction in plasma norepinephrine levels, signifying less stress, less sympathetic nervous system activity. And that makes sense in that group. People who have sleep apnea tend to have really turbocharged stress levels. So their plasma norepinephrine was 2 to 3 times greater than our participants at baseline, and their plasma norepinephrine went down. So in certain people, this definitely could be an intervention that decreases that.
We're going to take a quick commercial break. If you're watching live and you have questions, please post them, especially if you or someone you know has high blood pressure. We will get to every question. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. I need to share with you all a revolutionary new wearable technology called HapBee. HapBee allows you to enjoy the effects of caffeine, alcohol, nicotine, melatonin, and muscle relaxants without actually ingesting anything. Yes, really. They figured out the unique magnetic signature of each of these molecules and recorded them. Just put the HapBee on, choose the signal you want, and it starts projecting the magnetic signature of that molecule that you choose. Like coffee for feeling alert. Go to HapBee.com/SHR. That's HapBee.com/SHR to learn more and unlock an $80 discount exclusively for the Superhuman Radio listeners. Hey, this is Carl Lenore. Superhuman Radio is the longest-running health, fitness, and anti-aging podcast in the world, going into our 16th year of continuous production. If you have a product that you think would appeal to the Superhuman Nation, we can get you on the air quickly and inexpensively to help promote your brand. Join the ranks of some of the largest and most successful companies in the world who know how great it is to be affiliated with Superhuman Radio. Contact Dan Kapitsky today at dan.kapitzke at superhumanradio.net to learn more. High blood pressure.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Knoll Creek Hemp Company's Delta 8 soft chews are the premier Delta 8 product on the market today. Knoll Creek's Delta 8 is produced from high-quality hemp-derived CBD oil, and soft chews are manufactured using proprietary nano-emulsification technique that ensures the Delta 8 soft chew will timely deliver the desired effects cleanly and consistently from piece to piece. In a space where at least 70% of the products fail to meet label claims and where most users of conventional hemp products are left disappointed, Knoll Creek's Delta 8 soft chews choose are a product you can trust. Visit shrnetwork.biz/delta8. That's D-E-L-T-A and the number 8. And use the code SHR20 to get 20% off your first order today. Redcon One's new BAR bar is the ultimate soft baked protein packed snack bar powered by peanut butter. Perfect for while on the go to help curb hunger or sneaky sweet tooth cravings. With 20 grams of protein, use as a meal replacement bar or when you're in need of a high protein snack. Eat a Redcon One bar as a midday snack or for fuel before an intense training session. Go to shrnetwork.biz/redcon1 and use the code SHR25 and save 25% off these delicious bars today.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Daniel Craighead, and we're talking about how a five-minute breathing exercise could lower your blood pressure. This is fascinating to me, this kind of stuff. This is easy stuff for people to do. What about these right now and for the past few years, there's been these altitude training masks that are very, very popular. We see people wearing them at the gym. It restricts inhalation. What about those things? Any value to that in this discussion?
Yeah, I think if you're going for the blood pressure lowering, there's less benefit to those from what I've seen. You know, it seems to add some stress to your exercise. Maybe it helps, maybe it hurts because you just can't breathe as much and therefore can't exercise at the same intensity. I think splitting them up and doing the resistance to inspiration at a separate time from your whole body exercise seems to be the way to go.
Oxygen availability drives erythropoiesis, or erythropoiesis, depending on what part of Brooklyn you're from. Are there any changes in red blood cells in the people who underwent the five-minute breathing exercise?
So not that we saw with actual changes in red blood cells. But what we did see is an increase in this molecule nitric oxide. And nitric oxide is a dilator of your blood vessels.
Yes.
So while you may not be carrying more oxygen in your blood, if you have more nitric oxide, your blood vessels could dilate more and you could deliver more blood to your active muscles.
Now
that would be beneficial.
Is that nitric oxide production acute while you're doing the exercise? Did you see higher levels of it throughout the day? Or?
Yeah, so it seems to be a basal kind of constant thing at the end of the 6 weeks that you have higher levels. We did that same test where we treated cells in a petri dish with the plasma and from our participants, and something with this blood plasma caused more nitric oxide to be produced by the cells. So it's something in your circulation that's changing, that's making the cells in your body likely healthier and able to produce more nitric oxide.
So you'd have to do this for the rest of your life. I keep thinking, and I shared this with you off the air, I keep thinking that this may be an evolutionary holdover. There's a signaling mechanism taking place. We know that whatever we give the body, it supercompensates. If you have to lift heavy weights, the body adjusts and gets stronger. And if you're someone who keeps finding yourself, you know, having to suck hard to get air, then there's a signal going on to the body that says, hey, we need to become better at this because this schmuck keeps doing it. You know, it's like he's obviously going to croak if we don't fix this problem. So does it seem like, and I know you looked for 6 weeks after, but does it seem like this is something someone would have to do for the rest of their lives in order to keep that executive faculty, if you will, activated?
Yeah, at least intermittently, I would expect so. So I don't think you could do this for 6 weeks, you know, now and be seeing benefits 5 years down the line. Seems like something you at least have to do for a few months at a time, and maybe it's okay if then you take a few months off, but then you have to start it up again. But you compare that to someone who goes on blood pressure medication, they have to be on that for the rest of their life usually as well. Mm-hmm. And that's a consistent, you know, cost burden every month to get your prescription filled. You know, this is something that you can buy once and it will last for years. So it'd be a lot more cost effective, only takes about 5 minutes a day. So the time burden is pretty low. And as you said in your intro, there's a lot of negative side effects associated with medications, where I don't think we've found all the positive benefits of this training yet as well. So I think, yeah, it probably is something that you would need to do for, you know, most of your life. But when you weigh it against the other alternatives that are also something you're committing to for years and years, it seems pretty beneficial.
So before I ask my next question, I want to ask you, what is the duration of time for one full inhalation when you've got, let's say, 95 centimeters of water restricted pressure going on here? How long does it take somebody to fill their lungs? Is it a second? Is it 3 seconds?
Yeah, so you're trying to inhale as forcefully and quickly as possible, so about a second to a second and a half, okay. And then a 2 to 3 second slow exhale with no resistance.
Okay, so one of the things we've learned on this show over the past 4 or 5 years now is that carbon dioxide is not a waste gas. We think that carbon dioxide is to breathing what carbon monoxide is come to the combustion engine. It's not. We know now that people who have relatively low levels of carbon dioxide can have as much blood oxygen being carried by their red blood cells, but it doesn't let go. The red blood cell doesn't readily let it go. So carbon dioxide actually facilitates the oxygen in your blood that's being carried around by red blood cells to be released so that it can be released into tissue and be used. So did we see any changes in carbon dioxide levels in these people? I'm thinking specifically of, and I'm sure you've heard of Buteyko breathing. Were there any changes in carbon dioxide in these people?
Yeah, so we didn't look at carbon dioxide just at rest in our participants. But a few years ago, I gave a presentation at a conference from sort of the midpoint of our testing. And it was from some of our kind of VO2 max cardiorespiratory fitness data. And what we saw was at peak exercise in, you know, non-athletes we had doing this, just general middle-aged and older adults, they produced more carbon dioxide at peak exercise without changing the amount of oxygen they took in. So something was affecting CO2. These are data we're currently looking at in our full group and hope to have, you know, further peer-reviewed publications coming out with it.
It would be fascinating because there's also some research out there. I don't know if it was a paper or if it was like just a casual study where they used Buteyko breathing in people with obstructive sleep apnea, and a large percentage of them, their obstructive sleep apnea subsided after doing Buteyko breathing for months, let's say. And the discussion was that because the body becomes more comfortable with carbon dioxide levels rising, the kind of gasp reflex is reduced. And it's that gasp reflex that seems to trigger when the back of the throat collapses and you keep breathing harder and harder and you're basically smothering in your sleep. You just don't know it. So it would be fascinating to see what happens with CO2 levels in these people, to see if it is being affected at all. And if it is being affected, is that effect long-lasting? Like, how did it play out in the 6 weeks where they weren't using the device anymore? Did CO2 levels seem to be slightly elevated in these people? That would fascinate me.
Yeah, you're giving me lots of good ideas for things we need to look at in our next study.
I have so many scientists say that to me. I'm waiting for someone to put my name on a paper. But yeah, there's just so much going on, as you know. In order to get a paper published and an IRB and get the funding for it, you know, you got to look at this one endpoint. But there's so much else going on that I'm sure that if you start to look, you'll find some other exciting things taking place in these people. So, what is the next step for you? And now that you have this very effective method of lowering blood pressure, what's the next step?
Yeah, so we've recently initiated another study. This one will be to look at 3 months of inspiratory muscle training, so basically double the intervention length, see if there's any added benefit of going longer. And instead of comparing it to our sham low-resistance breathing control, we're going to be comparing it directly to aerobic exercise based on the exercise guidelines. So 150 minutes per week of moderate intensity aerobic exercise. So this will allow us to see, is inspiratory training as effective or potentially more effective at lowering blood pressure than aerobic exercise? And does it promote adherence because it's only 5 minutes a day versus, you know, 30 minutes most days a week?
Right.
Is it going to be easier for people to adhere to? And we'll also take what we've learned from our first study and look at more mechanisms of how blood pressure is being lowered and extend our outcomes out to look at, you know, other things. We'll be having a big fitness component to this one because we're interested in how just the breathing training versus the aerobic training can improve someone's cardiorespiratory fitness.
Were you able to measure vascular density in these individuals either over the course of the study to see if they, in fact, were getting greater blood flow to the periphery and or greater blood flow in general anywhere? Because we know that, you know, getting blood vessels to open big and wide, and you did point out the nitric oxide contribution there, but getting blood vessels to open big and wide lowers core blood pressure because you have – you know, this blood is no longer stuck in here. It's kind of out everywhere. And then all the hoses just kind of take a dip in pressure. Did you look at vascular density and how it was affected at all in this group?
No. So that would be something we'd really like to. But like you just said, it's one of those things where we can't measure everything. And that was one of the things that hit the cutting room floor when we were designing our study.
So... what about people who have really elevated blood pressure? What about people that have, you know, the 180 over 120? Are they going to see any benefits from this, you think, or are they just too far out? There's too much biological, you know, issues going on with them.
Yeah, so we didn't have anyone in our study with a blood pressure, systolic blood pressure higher than 160. If someone was, you know, at a 180 or higher, they probably want to see their doctor right away to come up with some sort of, you know, way to lower their blood pressure pretty rapidly. That being said, I think this would be helpful in the long term to help them lower their blood pressure and get it under control. As long as, you know, in someone with a hypertensive crisis like that, you'd want their doctor to sign off on it first. But, you know, if it can keep them on one less medication, that might be helpful.
Absolutely. And, you know, let's be honest. All these things we're talking about, gym memberships and exercise and this device and inhalation to make the respiratory muscles stronger are all replacements for something that we did up until recent times. And that is we worked hard and labored hard. And, you know, so when we talk about going to the gym is a artificial stimulator of something you would have done naturally 100, 200 years ago, which is probably worked in a field, worked on your farm. Maybe you would have been a laborer. Both my grandparents were brick masons. They worked very, very hard. They lived into their 90s. I attribute a lot of their longevity to the fact that they worked so hard for all of their life. And we don't have that anymore. We sit, you know, behind desks all day long. And I literally have angst because I'm here for 5 hours a day because I know I should get up every hour and all that sort of stuff. And thank God for my back strong chair because it allows me to at least move naturally while I'm in it. But the reality is that all these things are ways for us to just recreate the natural effects of being a human and actually working and moving and toiling all day long. You know what I mean? So really, when you think about it, we probably would have had really strong respiratory muscles. I'm sure everybody had strong respiratory muscles that worked on farms 100, 200 years ago.
Yeah, probably. So, and you're right. We're looking at this. You know, one of the main benefits we think is it's a type of physical activity that people will do because you can just buy the device, do it while you're in your home. You don't need to live near a nice outdoor area or need to, you know, have a gym nearby. But it's not a perfect replacement for an active lifestyle.
Right.
While we saw lots of benefits like blood pressure improving, health of the blood vessels improving, we didn't see like cholesterol go down. We didn't see body weight improve. So if someone's, you know, willing to do more normal exercise, I would still recommend people do that. They shouldn't stop running or stop going to the gym because they can do inspiratory muscle training for 5 minutes a day. But it's such a unique form of training. You're breathing, 2 to 3 times harder than you would even if you were running all out.
Right.
We think it's still a unique stimulus that people who already are healthy could add and still see some potential additional health benefits.
Well, look, athletes do it for 30 minutes at a time to improve performance. So doing it for 5 minutes to improve blood pressure, it's definitely valuable. There's no doubt about it. Let's take our last commercial break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Being superhuman means being conscientious about the choices we make. White Oak Pastures is superhuman when it comes to raising livestock. They're committed to animal welfare, land regeneration, and rural revival. They responsibly manage the entire process from the pasture to your doorstep. High-quality, pasture-raised, great-tasting meat from a farm you can trust. Full nose-to-tail selections. They even have options for your pet. Go to shrnetwork.biz/whiteoak and use code SHR20 to save 20% off your entire first order. High blood pressure. Is there something interfering with your happiness or ability to achieve your goals? BetterHelp can help. They will assess your needs and match you with a licensed therapist. This is not a self-help or crisis line. It's professional counseling done securely online. They have a broad range of experts and are available worldwide without having to wait in an uncomfortable waiting room. Get the help you need and start living a happier life today. Go to shrnetwork.biz/betterhelp. That's better, H-E-L-P, and receive 10% off your first month of counseling when you use the code SHR. Every day, there's a new wellness trend. Eat that. Do this. Avoid those. How do you know where to start or who to trust? Inside Tracker helps you cut through the noise by analyzing your blood, your DNA, your lifestyle, and your fitness tracker to provide you with a science-backed, trackable action plan on how to live, age, and perform better. Personalized one-size-fits-one recommendations to help you optimize you. For a limited time, Inside Tracker is offering Superhuman Radio listeners 25% off the entire store. Go to shrnetwork.biz/insidetracker, InsideTracker, to save 25% off. Change begins on the inside. Remember those rectangular toaster pastries you used to love when you were a kid? Well, Legendary Foods has just made them better. The new cake-style tasty pastry is like nothing you've ever had before. With 20 grams of high-quality protein and less than 1 gram of sugar, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to shrnetwork.biz/legendary and use the code SHR10 to save 10% off your purchase of Tasty Pastries. Now available in cookies and cream, red velvet cake, birthday cake, blueberry, strawberry, brown sugar cinnamon, and hot fudge sundae. Go to shrnetwork.biz/legendary and use code SHR10 today. If you spend any amount of time sitting while at work like I do, I have the chair for you. The Backstrong chair from All 33 is the most comfortable office chair I've ever sat in. That's the truth. Their patented technology allows your body to move the way it's supposed to move while you sit. Designed by a chiropractor to position your pelvis in a way that stacks all 33 of your vertebrae into perfect alignment. The benefits of this ideal posture include relief of back pain, deeper breathing, better digestion, improved circulation, greater focus, sharper memory, and more productivity. Start experiencing these benefits today. Go to shrnetwork.biz/move and use the code SHR100 for a $100 discount on your Backstrong chair.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. At the top of the hour, we're going to be joined by Bing Howenstein, and we're going to talk about the Backstrong chair from All 33. It's a fascinating concept, this chair. I've never really put a lot of thought into the chair I sit in at work, and quite frankly, I break most of them over a short period of time. I'm a big guy. I move a lot. This chair is the best chair I've ever sat in, and I'm not making that up. It's not just because they're sponsors. I can move my hips independently of my upper back. I mean, the chair just feels so comfortable, and a lot of you know that I have L4, L5, S1 compression from years of squatting and deadlifting, and my lower back gives me trouble. And I got to tell you, I thought my lower back problems were being exacerbated by riding my motorcycle, but they're not. They were being exacerbated by sitting in the chair I sat in, because I don't have the problem anymore since I've been using this chair. It's really fascinating. People really need to open their eyes. That chair is not a chair is not a chair. There are different chairs out there. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. So, Daniel, I think this is fascinating research. I think it's important research. It's really important because it's so easy to do. And we, like you said, we really don't know what the total benefits of this breathing exercise could be. I'm sure that over time, as you continue to exploit the research, you'll learn more and more. For this next study, will you use the same subjects from the first study?
So we probably won't use the exact same subjects, but it'll be a similar group of people. So people 50 years of age and older who have high blood pressure.
Yeah. And I hope that you look at some of these other blood markers too. You know, carbon dioxide, obviously epinephrine, norepinephrine at the beginning of the study and the end of the study. I have a funny feeling that that one is being altered. And I'm looking forward to this next study. I hope that you'll come back on the show and talk about it.
Yeah, I would love to. We're going to look at things like cognitive function and brain health as well. So we're really opening it up and going to see what areas of health this type of breathing exercise can improve.
You know, from an evolutionary perspective, snoring was a really bad thing because it pretty much meant that you became a beacon for nighttime hunters. they could easily find you in your cave because you would basically calling them. And we have a big problem today with obstructive sleep apnea, but we have even a bigger problem with men and women, but predominantly men who snore. Snoring is not a natural thing. I've been talking about this for years. If you snore, you got to figure out what's wrong and get it fixed now before it becomes obstructive sleep apnea. Because snoring at night is basically a mild case of asphyxiation, and your body is going, wow, we can't breathe. And adrenaline comes up at night. Cortisol comes up at night. You get really crappy sleep. And when you're young, even into your 40s, You can pull it all together. You wake up in the morning, you have a cup of coffee, and you run out the door, and you can do your thing. But in my humble opinion, and I say this especially for men because it's mostly a male situation, if you snore, pay attention and get it fixed. I wonder if this respiratory breathing exercise will have any effect on men who just snore, not obstructive sleep apnea, just snoring.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I mean, we have a lot of researchers here at the University of Colorado who are experts in sleep physiology. So we might partner with some of them on this next study to really look at sleep quality.
If you're
finding out that sleep is really, a big driver of health.
Well, you know what? And so the Australian or New Zealand Aborigine tribe there, I can't think of the name of them, but they play this instrument called a dirigidoo. And the dirigidoo looks like a French horn, but instead of it having a reed, it's just got a big opening, and you got to put your lips over it, and you breathe into it at the same time while your vocal cords vibrate, and it makes this really pleasant low-pitched sound. And there was a study that's probably 10 years old now that showed that learning to play the dirigidoo eliminated obstructive sleep apnea. And it probably did so in a variety of ways, including the a force that you had to create with your lungs, but also I'm willing to bet that the muscles in the back of the throat were made stronger because of the pressure that it was containing when you were blowing into the. So that's why it wouldn't surprise me if this respiratory exercise turns out and takes guys who snore and gets them to stop snoring.
Yeah, another great idea you've given me.
Yeah, so there you go. And that's a very, very good one. Well, look, I thank you so much for being on the show. I'm going to search for one of the analog devices and start playing with myself. And I think that those of you out there who have mildly elevated blood pressure, this may be a great alternative to getting on meds. And anytime you can avoid getting on meds, that's a good thing. Thanks for being here today, Daniel.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, and we're going to take one quick commercial break. And when we come back, I'm going to talk about the chair I'm sitting in. Stay tuned. If you spend any amount of time sitting while at work, like I do, I have the chair for you. The Backstrong chair from All33 is the most comfortable office chair I've ever sat in. That's the truth. Their patented technology allows your body to move the way it's supposed to move while you sit. Designed by a chiropractor to position your pelvis in a way that stacks all 33 of your vertebrae into perfect alignment. The benefits of this ideal posture include relief of back pain, deeper breathing, better digestion, improved circulation, greater focus, sharper memory, and more productivity. Start experiencing these benefits today. Go to shrnetwork.biz/move and use the code SHR100 for a $100 discount on your Backstrong chair. Attention meat lovers. I've discovered a snack with just two ingredients, meat and salt. That is so tender and delicious, you almost can't believe it. That's right, no soy, sugar, or other crap. Our partner, Carnivore Snacks, nailed it with these mouth-watering snacks. They have a variety, too. Ribeye, pork loin, leg of lamb, and more, all sourced here in the USA from regenerative farms. Claim your superhuman offer from Carnivore Snacks today at shrnetwork.biz/snacks. That's S-N-A-X. Use the code SUPERHUMAN for 15% off your first order, plus a free 2-ounce pork loin. Hey, this is Carl Lenore. Superhuman Radio is the longest-running health, fitness, and anti-aging podcast in the world, going into our 16th year of continuous production. If you have a product that you think would appeal to the superhuman nation, we can get you on the air quickly and inexpensively to help promote your brand. Join the ranks of some of the largest and most successful companies in the world who know how great it is to be affiliated with Superhuman Radio. Contact Dan Kopitzke today, that Dan.Kopitzke at superhumanradio.net to learn more. I keep saying the number one killer is insulin resistance. Managing blood sugar is the key to living long and aging well. But we all like to eat starchy carbohydrates and sugars from time to time. How do I manage this? I use a product called Blood Sugar Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. This easy-to-take supplement is the result of numerous tests to find the absolute best formula for maintaining healthy blood sugar. Blood Sugar Breakthrough works to safely lower blood sugar after meals so that you can maintain a healthy weight and redirect carbohydrates to your muscles where they can be burned as energy. This means you'll avoid the worst effects of high blood sugar, like weight gain and advanced aging, while enjoying more stable energy, mental clarity, and fewer cravings. Go to shrnetwork.biz/blood sugar and save 10% with code SHR10 today. High blood pressure.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're joined by inventor Bing Howenstein. How you doing, Bing?
I'm great, Carl. How are you?
Wonderful. Thanks for being here today. Thanks for making this chair.
I wish I could claim I was the inventor, but I'm the guy who figured out how to start selling it. My good pal and chiropractor for over 20 years, Dennis Colanello, is the actual inventor of the chair. He and Jim Grove, and you know, I'm a business guy who's known the backspace for a number of years and have watched them. Basically, if you're familiar with like the Dyson story, where they spent years and years and years trying to figure out a better way, that's what this chair was. I mean, I can't tell you how many iterations or prototypes we sat in, and thousands of patients that Dennis had through his office to keep working on this until he got what you're sitting in now. I'm just lucky to be part of the team and have spearheaded the launch of it into marketplace, which has been great so far.
Very cool. So, you know, the funny thing is about 5-6 years ago, I bought one of those Bosu ball chairs. I've had lower back problems from competitive weightlifting. And I know that when I sit in a chair for very long, that first rise and step out is I'm so tight, just so tight. And so I thought, okay, I'll get one of these Bosu balls, you know. And this is what I was doing all day long because, you know, you really can't sit in it. You're balanced atop it, and if you move your arm this way, the thing wants to go that way. And I thought, well, maybe this is a good idea because I see a lot of people using them. My back hurt worse My back actually hurt worse from because my back, I was always, I actually, my back muscles were being engaged even more because I was trying to keep myself from, you know, falling off the chair. And I thought, well, that didn't work. And then I went to Office Depot. You know, I bought a cheap $119 chair, $120 chair. And it was broken in a few months. In fact, Brian Tyler, who's my neighbor in the other office here, like, we actually have, like, there's a spare room back here. We have, like, three chairs in there because they all took a crap after you use them for a while. They collapse. You can't get them up to pump up. Or they pump up, and then they slowly sink over the course of the day. I mean, it's a joke. And this is what people spend 6-7 hours a day in. I mean, you spend more time in your office chair than you do the sofa in your home or the car or both. And it's like nobody.
More and more every day.
Yeah. And nobody cares. Nobody cares. And now people are working from home and they're sitting at the kitchen table with all the wrong angles, with the wrong chair. So this chair is fascinating to me. I want to play a video that Natalie loaded, and it really gives everybody a great rendition of how this chair works. And the guy who's in the chair is a celebrity. So here we go.
I'm Justin Bieber, and this is the All 33. It's the chair that moves like I do.
Got that yummy, 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 yummy.
I mean, guys, look at this perfect posture. I got my chest up, my shoulders back. I'm ready for anything.
Yummy, yummy.
I mean, have you guys ever seen a chair that can do this? I'm doing a full ab workout right now. All right, hit me up later. I'll be back. You gotta sit. This is it.
If you gotta sit, this is it. I love that. That's great. Great product. So, I would imagine that when the good doctor was developing this, he had patients who were saying, look, you know, my back is killing, my chair is killing my back, right?
Well, yeah, that's just it. I mean, and you know, Dennis is a guy, and I've had the fortunate experience in my career to literally travel the world. Meeting a lot of people who understand the space, meeting a lot of healers. Dennis is a true kind of magician as a healer. As a result, he's, you know, got the blessing of all these crazy patients like the guy you just saw in the video. And, you know, for years he's been the guy you go to get treated in Beverly Hills. And for those years, all he saw was everyone coming back with the same problems. You know, the back pain, like you mentioned earlier, you got the L4, L5, you know, S1, all these different things are very common problems from overuse, from sitting, from the pressures that are caused by your body not moving around all day. And, you know, his frustrations of, you know, kind of fixing people, sending them back out into the world, you know, especially like these high powered CEOs and everything, they'd come back with the same problems. And he just got tired of it. So he really started to think about what is a better way, what is a better system to do this. And, you know, funnily enough, it's a different approach than the seating industry has really taken, because the seating industry for years has been about what's the next new model that looks cool? What's the next new model that has a great design? What's the next new model that, you know, might mask some comfort but make me look really great in my office or behind my desk? Not what our bodies needed. And so, you know, this very different approach, Dennis was able to figure out. He literally, and he met Jim Grove, who helped him design it mechanically, who's been doing chairs for a long time, who's traveled the world as well, never seen anything like this. Dennis put his hands behind Jim's pelvis and tilted it forward. And you could kind of feel that experience in what you're doing right now in the seat. And that is what they wanted to encapsulate in this chair. That's what they achieved in this chair, really creating a dynamic motion to help your body move the way it's supposed to, almost as if it's standing, but when you're sitting, the way your body is supposed to be moving around. You know, I love how you oftentimes are able to equate what our bodies were doing, you know, 10, 20, 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, that we don't do anymore, because now we are checking our Twitter feed for 12 hours a day, and it's really bad for us. What this chair has been able to do is kind of allow our bodies to operate the way they're supposed to.
You know, I've always suspected that the lower back problem in the United States, and it's big, was in part, if not totally, the result of the fact that we sit all day long. And yep. The discs are great when it's moving around. And in fact, disc movement is critical in order for discs to stay pumped up. But when you sit like this for 6 hours a day, you know, 5 days a week, you know, 20, 30 years, those discs, that downward pressure is just collapsing them, collapsing them, collapsing them. This is so evident that I suffered a really bad compression in my lumbar spine that actually gave me drop foot. That's how bad it was. I actually thought I was going to have drop foot for the rest of my life. I did a movement. Sure. I didn't do it right. I had a lot of weight. And so I had Dr. Stuart McGill on the show early on, shortly after I did this. That was the first time I had him on the show. And he wrote a book called Fix Your Own Back. And he told me, start walking. Now, that's counterintuitive, right? You have lower back problem. You're thinking, oh, I'm not going to walk. That's going to, like, ruin. No, because when you walk, when you ambulate, those vertebrae do this, and they actually pull fluid into the discs, and the discs plump up. But we sit stationary. This chair, as you said, I love it. I sit back, and I roll my hips forward sometimes to kind of make that lumbar spine do this a little bit while I'm sitting in it. I can't do that in a regular chair, and I couldn't do it on the Bosu ball.
No, that's all the weird. That's all the wrong pressures in the wrong places. You know, I love this analogy for exactly what you're talking about. A kitchen sponge. You know, when you have your kitchen sponge and you're using it, and you get water in it, you're washing dishes. It's nice and fluffy. It stays nice and fluffy and dry. But if you don't use it for a while, if you don't get fluid in it after a while, guess what? What does it do? It gets flattened out, and thin and brittle. And that's the same thing as your joints. You need that movement. You need to keep moving. And, you know, that's where it's incredible. You know, I'll tell you what, the worst thing about this chair is when you don't have it. Because when you're used to sitting in it, and you know, when I'm traveling, obviously I'm not going to carry my chair with me, but, you know, you really miss having it with you. You feel it immediately. I feel it in my low back because I miss that movement. I miss the fluid coming in and out. I miss my discs being refreshed and you know, the strength that comes from it. So it really does make an incredible difference what this seemingly simple design does.
And if you don't have back problems, even more the reason you need this chair, because you won't get them. Don't wait for your lower back. I have a joke. People always say, what's my fondest childhood memory? I says, no back pain. You know, I mean, don't wait to get a back problem and think, oh, I need to go invest in that chair. More and more people are working from home now. Buy this chair for your home office. Look at the celebrities. Shaquille O'Neal, Tom Hanks, Justin Bieber, Cindy Crawford, Chuck Liddell. I loved Chuck Liddell when he fought. John Cleese. These are all people who use the chair and endorse the chair. And my audience gets $100 off plus free shipping. This is crazy. If you want the Backstrong chair, go to shrnetwork.biz/move, M-O-V-E. Use the code SHR100, and that's all one SHR100. You'll save $100 off the chair plus free shipping. And I'm going to tell you something else. I hate, you know, when I had young kids, Christmas Eve, all the stuff I had to build, you know, all the toys, Barbie, you know, dream homes. And I hate assembling anything now. I really do, with a passion. So when Dan said the chair's going to be here tomorrow, you need to assemble it and you need to time it, see how long it takes you to sell it. Then, I don't want to do this. So I did it right out in the hall. I was done in 9 minutes exactly. I screenshotted my phone at the timer. And so it's true. You guys say 10. I did it in 9, and I also didn't have, you know, the space to move things around. I was working in a cramped area. But I got to tell you something. This is the heaviest, sturdiest office chair I've ever seen in my life. This chair is heavy. And I want people to understand why that's a good thing. This chair's got to last forever. I mean, it's that strong.
We often share pictures amongst our team of, you know, you always see the random chair out discarded on the street or in the back of an office building. That's never going to happen with this chair.
No.
And in fact, this thing's built to last, as you well know. But not only that, the way we design the cushions, they're replaceable. So, you know, because a lot of times people throw chairs out because they get a tear in it. And you know, so we're setting up a replacement cushion program. So this chair will be, even on an ecological point of view, you know, one of the best ever, just because it doesn't have to go anywhere. It's going to last an awfully long time. We can kind of refresh it. But yeah, we built this for ease of use. This is about taking pain away from people's lives, taking all that away and just giving you something that you can count on, that helps improve your life. You said something earlier about that moment when you stand up from sitting, we want that to feel good. Right. We want you to feel like you're empowered to go do what you're going to do, you know, cause we're not here to work. We're here to live. Right. And, you know, doing what we're doing on our computers all day should be, what allows us to go play golf or tennis or go for the hike or play with your kids, do whatever you're going to do, not feel like you've just been crushed with a baseball bat in your back.
Right.
And that's it's all in the kind of thesis of what we're trying to do with this chair.
It's brilliant. And I endorse this chair, two thumbs up. I'm telling you right now, if you sit in an office chair at home or at work, make sure it's this chair, because this chair will reward your back. The Back Strong chair from All 33. If you're asking yourself, what does All 33 mean? All 33 of your vertebrae align exactly the way they should. And that's another issue I'm going to talk. SHRnetwork.biz/move. Use the code SHR100 to save $100 off. So there are more and more men as they age. I see them at the gym. They walk with their pelvis tilted forward. Their butt is kind of like sucked in. And they walk with this stiff look to it. That is from losing that natural curve in the lumbar spine. The lumbar spine is supposed to have a slight curve to it, kind of like where your tail would have came out if you were a monkey. You lose that when you sit in a regular chair because it flattens your back out. The chair doesn't work for you. You work for the chair. It flattens your back out. So you sit with that flat back for 5, 6, 7 hours. And after a decade of that, people look at you walk. You walk like an old man. What's wrong with the lower body part of his body? This chair, like I said, I sit here sometimes when I'm on the phone or if I'm doing a Zoom call and I'm going like this. I wonder sometimes what they think I'm doing. But, you know, I'm rolling my hips forward. I'm rolling my pelvis forward. I'm rolling it backwards. I'm keeping that lubrication in those joints. Great product. Thank the good doctor. Really, thank him, because this is brilliant.
Well, yeah, I think he's helped a lot of people in his life. I think, you know, all those celebrities you just showed, they're all, you know, they want to give back. We want to promote this thing so we can help more people. We know that we can actually create a positive impact on the world the more we get this out there, because for all the reasons you just mentioned, for the ability to help people move, to help people feel good, to escape that, particularly that L4, L5, you know, numbness and just inescapable pain. We can do that with this chair. So that's what we're all about, is getting out there to help people move freely, work better, and live better.
You got to go see Elon Musk and build this seating style into the Tesla.
Well, I don't know if you know this, but Elon Musk actually contributed in a small degree to the design of this chair.
No, I didn't know that.
While he was in town in L.A. for a little while, he was being treated by Dr. Colanello. And he and Dennis brought him one of the early prototypes and asked him to sit in it. And in, I think, true characteristic form, Elon Musk said, "It's terrible. You gotta put more cushion in it. You gotta change this one little piece." We did that, and it worked great. So we owe a debt of gratitude to Elon Musk for his notes as we were getting towards completion. So yeah, we definitely need him to now focus on putting this in his cars.
Yeah,
absolutely, because you know it's the movement that's the key, and you know anybody who's done a long road trip can attest to that. That pinch, that knee that you just shouldn't have in your back, that pressure that mounts up down there that affects how your digestion, your circulatory system, your everything, it all adds up. So the more we can be moving, and the more we can be, you know, in this position while we're seated, the better we're all going to be.
And you know what else? I don't sit. So I used to sit in the classic shoulders rolled forward, elbows up on the desk. And when you do that, your back goes like this. It becomes arched like that, backwards.
Yeah.
But you can't sit like that in this chair. You can't. You cannot flatten out your spine and roll your upper spine forward in this chair. I'm trying to do it right now and I can't because the bucket, I call it the bucket that you sit in.
Yeah.
It just keeps moving. It keeps you from doing that. It's amazing.
We call it, athletic sitting. Because it keeps you in a position, like you saw in the video with Justin, you know, he shoots a basketball. You can do, you have athletic movement capacity, with your body. And it's funny because we are challenged, we don't want to call this a chair. It's a chair, but it's really not a chair. It's like, what are we dealing with here? It's like, it's like a vitamin for your back. It's functional because you're using it to do your tasks, your work, whatever. But, it's not a chair. It's so much more than that. If your listeners, if anybody's got an idea to help us determine what this thing is, because it's almost a new category, we're trying to figure that out. And the best way to do that, of course, is to, feel what it's like to sit in it. So you can understand, what that feeling is, that posture of athletic sitting. It makes this super fun for us because, it is really a different experience. The end of a work day, the end of a week, it's a different experience for your body. I like to play a lot of golf. I've noticed, in sitting in this chair that, I have a stronger core, a stronger posture. I can actually hit the ball a little more solidly and further, not because I'm doing other stuff out here, but because of what I'm doing during the day.
Right.
Cause I'm sitting all day long. So it really is impactful to so many aspects of our lives. And that's what, it's our one of our big vexing challenges right now is what in the heck do we call this thing?
The human holder. The human holder. Look, this is a great product. I hope my audience acts on it. If you have been sitting in the same old office chair for a couple of years now, get rid of it and get yourself a Backstrong chair. I'll promote it one more time. The offer is, go to shrnetwork.biz/move. Use the code SHR100 for $100 off plus free shipping. If you don't have back problems, don't wait until you do. Bing, thank you so much for being here. And more importantly, thank you for being a sponsor on Superhuman Radio.
Thank you. And thank you for helping us spread the word. You got a great show. Easily communicated messages that make it, for guys like me, understand what's going on with the stuff that some people make too obtuse and dense. So I appreciate you making everything so relatable in that way.
Thank you.
And it's a great learning experience. So thank you for sharing the message about our chair.
Okay. Take care. Have a great weekend, brother. Take care.
Thank you.
And that's it. I am off the air. I'm actually going to be in California next week at Legendary Foods for the entire week. But we will be rerunning some really good classic shows that some of you have never heard. And some of you probably would like to hear again. Natalie's going to handle that. So even though I won't be here in person, I'll be here in spirit. And who knows, maybe I'll do some live stuff from out there at Legendary Foods. All right, look, thank you for being here today. Share the show. Always share the show. Please share the show. And we will see everybody. I'll be back on Monday. I'm gone Monday. I'll be back the following Monday. Take care of yourself. Stay strong.